Welcome to today's audiocast from Aviation International News, the most respected source for business aviation news.
This is AIN Online news editor Chad Trotvetter on site at the European Business Aviation Conference and Exhibition in Geneva, Switzerland. Eclipse Aviation announced this week at the show that it received approval from U.S. and Canadian authorities to export the Eclipse 500 very light jet and its components to Russia, where it plans to establish an assembly facility in Ulanovsky. AIN contributor Ian Shepherd caught up with company founder and CEO Vern Rayburn at eBase to talk about the Russian manufacturing plans and European certification for the Eclipse 500, as well as current aircraft production at Eclipse's headquarters in Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Hi, Vern. I just wanted to get an update on your production plans, on the Russian approval, generally on your status and what you bring to the show.
Okay, be happy to. On production, we will have, by the end of this month, May, we'll have over 195 aircraft in the field, and we'll have manufactured through serial number 201 by the end of this month. And so our production rate continues to ramp up, as you saw from the numbers that we released for first quarter. Significantly increased our production from last year. In fact, in the first quarter alone, we delivered 52 aircraft versus a total of 98 aircraft in all of 2007. So we delivered more than 50% in a quarter at the time. So our production ramp continues to go up, and that'll continue through the rest of the year. It is not as an aggressive a ramp as we had originally planned, in most cases because of a combination of labor, but really enough of our vendors are incapable of supporting the ramp that we just can't plan to ramp when we can't get parts. I mean, and that's what it all comes down to, is in a business model like we have, where 100% of the aircraft is fabricated somewhere else, one single vendor can stop the ramp for everybody else who does the job, and we still are struggling with one or two vendors.
Okay, I understand that you have had some supplier issues, and because of your commitment to have a homogenous aircraft, you've still got some outstanding ones where you're doing some retrofits?
That's right. There are basically three major retrofits, three and a half retrofits, let's say. The biggest one, of course, is the performance improvement. That's for a very small number of airplanes, less than 35, and we're almost halfway through that process right now, and so we'll have all those aircraft retrofitted by the end of the second one, which is a larger number, about 100, is the Avio NG upgrade, where we put in the new displays, radios, and transponders. And then, of course, the biggest one will be when we go ahead and install the Garmin G400Ws, which provides the FMS navigation and autopilot coupled capability. That's a relatively easy upgrade. It's really just like installing a couple of new boxes, and so that's one that will have to be applied to about 250 plus aircraft. All those will be done by the end of the year. We've geared up in our service centers in Albuquerque, Gainesville, and Albany. We have dedicated bays, dedicated service teams that are working on these issues right now and are actually doing upgrades as we speak. And so we've committed to our customer base that we'll have those all upgraded. Now the half that I referred to will be the FIKI, the flight into known icing, and there's some very minor modifications that have to be made to the airplane, and those will be just a couple of day process, and so we'll start doing those as soon as the FIKI certification occurs.
So I understand that icing certification is due to be finished in the next week or two, is that correct?
I wouldn't put a week or two on it. We are done with all the testing now, and so now it's a paperwork exercise, both us finishing the reports for the FAA and then the FAA going through and approving the reports, and if they find anything that they would like to change, then obviously we'd have to go back. But we have finished all the testing, both what's called shape testing and natural icing encounters. So we've been flying the aircraft extensively throughout North America, including up into Alaska the last several weeks. And so we're very satisfied. We're more than satisfied. Yeah. We're very happy with the results that we've gotten out of it. The aircraft does great.
That's great.
And as you probably understand, the FAA continues to increase the difficulty or the hurdle rate to obtain known icing certification. It is a very, 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 very laborious difficult and comprehensive certification program now. And it's even different now than it was 2 years ago. And the simple fact of the matter is I think that every aircraft that comes through known icing certification is actually safer now than it was even a few years ago. So we're not objecting to the difficulty of this, but it is a big job, and we're very proud that we've gone through this and what we've ended up with.
And in terms of the certification in Europe, can you give us an update on how that's going?
Well, as I stated at the press conference, I've given up on giving dates on certification in Europe, except to say that we're very deeply engaged in it. We've had a lot of ongoing work with the EASA folks. The issues that have been raised have all been pretty much addressed. We're down to just the last couple of issues. What is a clear fact is that the EASA certification will at minimum be tied to the Garmin certification because of the BRNAV requirement under EASA in Europe. And so as a result, we do not expect to see EASA certification any earlier than probably late August or early September. If assuming that the remaining open issues that we have with EASA, which are, as I say, ongoing discussions, are resolved, then that's what you could probably expect to see us sometime in mid to late third quarter this year.
You came to the show with some news of your Russian link up, the E-Turk relationship and approvals over there. Can you, from the U.S. side, can you just give us an overview of that?
Well, certainly, from a pure standpoint of moving forward with the plans on producing aircraft in Russia, the first important step, the first major step, was that we had to ensure that we could obtain export licenses and certification from both the U.S. and the Canadian governments. The Canadian, obviously, for the engine that's built in Montreal, and the U.S. government for all the other pieces. And clearly, that can sometimes be challenging. Fortunately, even though the Eclipse 500 has a fair amount of advanced technology in it, it is all pretty much commercial technology, and it doesn't use any underlying defense or military or weapons technology. And so we were able to get that finished about 3 weeks ago, and so we now have full, complete approval for export of all the pieces to Russia for assembly in Russia, including the engine from Canada. And so that was a really important first step, because without that, and both parties agreed that we should do that first before investing a lot in building factories and everything else. Now, in addition to that, we have started the certification process in Russia, and so we're moving forward on that. The planning is fairly well advanced. We have been investing in planning. We haven't invested in, you know, bricks and mortar yet. And so my guess is that now that we have the licensing and we now out of the way, and we have the certification started, and that's, you know, preliminary, on a preliminary basis, is looking great, that we will go forward with starting with the bricks and mortars part of the plan sometime this year, probably late this year, with an intent still of producing the first aircraft in Russia sometime in fourth quarter, late fourth quarter 2009.
Okay, and I understand the decision on a production plant is advancing with E-Turk, looking at Ulanovsk as the favorite?
Ulanovsk is the current favorite location. The final decision has not been made, but there is a tremendous amount of support in Russia from both the region and the federal level to put the factory there. It's a great location. It's a wonderful aviation heritage there, ranging all the way from, of course, the Antonov 124s, a lot of them were made there to even today. They still build the Tupolev 204 there. And it's also the site of the largest Russian civilian aviation training school, pilot training school. And it's an industrial community, a large automotive factory, manufacturing, a lot of machine tool manufacturing. So it's a skilled workforce in a really nice location on the Volga River. And so it's something that... there's a lot to be said for that location, but the decision is still yet to be made.
Okay, going back to the States a minute, the Dayjet decision to scale back a little bit of Dayjet, you said earlier in the show that it would be, that the other customers had found it, that they could get earlier slots, so they were happy with that. In terms of Dayjet and the production slots being available, made freed up in some cases, Is this, you said in the press conference that things could be shuffled around, and that didn't really affect you too much?
Well, it didn't affect us at all, and because we're only talking about this year for DayJet a couple of dozen slots. And so that's a very small percentage of the total aircraft that we'll deliver this year. And as I said at the press conference, I'm very, very optimistic that this is really just a, as I think I used the phrase, a speed bump in the road, that DayJet is rationalizing their business plan. And as I mentioned, this is a combination of some overly aggressive expansion and at the same time capital markets really being in a tough shape, especially in the United States right now. And so I think all these problems pass by the end of the year, and DayJet resumes their growth curve early next year, and we're going to be there and prepared to support them in that.
Okay, thank you. Well, one other thing, just wanted to cover one other thing. You have become the first smaller aircraft manufacturer to introduce a FOCA program. Can you just explain how that's going?
The FOCA program is going great, and it's doing exactly, precisely both what we wanted it to do and what the FAA wants it to do. Now, just to make sure your listeners have a bit of a background, we are the first manufacturer, not just small aircraft, but the first manufacturer to actually have a FOCA program. FOCA programs are typically deployed by operators, and they're typically deployed by fleet operators, whether it be an Air Force or an airline or even a corporate multi-airplane corporate flight department. You've never seen it applied particularly to small aircraft and to aircraft operated by individuals, because the very essence of FOCA is reduction of large amounts of data to see trends across a large population, which makes the data statistically significant. We are capable of doing that because every Eclipse 500 manufactured has a data collection unit that collects nearly 4,000 channels worth of information and 5 to 6 megabytes per hour of flight. So we aggregate a lot of information very, very rapidly. I mean, as I announced, we have over 25,000 fleet hours today times 5 megabytes. You can do that arithmetic, and the sums on that are, we got a lot of data. And out of that data, we do, using the FOCA data reduction software, we are able to see and capture and discern trends that are across the fleet. And so this is really about seeing how the aircraft is operated. Now, we use, in addition, not just for FOCA, we use that data to look at individual variances and health monitoring and trending for each individual airplane. So FOCA is a piece of our data strategy, but in this case, it's all about increasing the safety of operation of the fleet by discerning trends or exceedances or problems that are fleet-wide. So it's not a program to look at individual operators. It's a program to look at the entire fleet.
Thank you for listening to today's audiocast from Aviation International News. For the latest business aviation news, go to www.ainonline.com.